Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I was walking up and down the aisles at the grocery store, one of my favorite things to do, thinking about food and imagining all of the different things that I can cook and eat. And I saw a display filled with all these different ingredients for our favorite Thanksgiving Day foods. Canned pumpkin, cream of mushroom soup, those crispy French onions you sprinkle on the top of green bean casserole, herb stuffing mix. I love Thanksgiving Day. I love the rituals that surround that day. Watching the parade, cooking together with my mom, sharing a delicious meal together, putting a puzzle together. I really enjoy Thanksgiving Day. But I have to confess, I've never really understood Thanksgiving Day from a Christian perspective. Right? It kind of puzzles me when we talk about setting aside a day to give thanks. Because aren't we called to give thanks every day? Most people, myself included, don't spend the day giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day. I'm really not that much more thankful on Thanksgiving Day than I am any other day. We might pray a prayer of thanksgiving before our meal. Maybe some of us even go around the table and share some things that we're thankful for. But being thankful, this kind of behavior shouldn't be the exception for Christians. We shouldn't have to set a day aside for it just once a year. Because giving thanks to God is what our whole lives should look like. So in today's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters from a distance 10 lepers, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And here are not just 10 lepers, but 10 souls, 10 human beings, 10 people created in the image of God, walking at a distance from the main road as they were bound to do so by law because of their condition. Leprosy at the time of Jesus was a greatly feared disease. It separated and removed completely people from their friends and their family and their life as they once knew it. And so here we encounter 10 people who lived with the pain of isolation and alienation from the world. And when they pleaded with Jesus for mercy, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. This is another way of saying that they were cured. Through Christ, God had cured them, and Jesus sent them on their way to show themselves to the priest. Again, by Jewish law, the priest could verify that they were cured and that they could rejoin their families and society. As they were on their way, one of the men, who was also a Samaritan, who were arch enemies of the Jews, turned back and gave thanks to Jesus. Now, much has been written and said about the other 9, but I think it's important to note that they were just simply doing what Jesus had asked them to do, right? They weren't necessarily doing anything wrong. But this Samaritan, this double outcast because of his leprosy and outcast because he was a foreigner, he came back and praised God. And Jesus told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Some other translations say that your faith has made you whole. And I think that this is a better and more faithful translation of what Jesus is really trying to communicate. Wholeness, you see, is more than just a physical cure. It emerges from an intimate relationship with our healing God. As such, even those who aren't cured physically can be healed and can be made whole. They can experience peace in the midst of pain and healing and wholeness in the midst of an incurable disease. This man, this Samaritan, when he saw that he was cured, he returned to Jesus and praised him by giving thanks. As he was on his way with the other nine, doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, he was able to see the work of God in his life, to see what God had done and was doing, and his response was overwhelming gratitude. And this man was made whole. Are we living our lives busy trying to be faithful, trying to do what Jesus has told us to do? And in the midst of all of that, are we able to see what God has done and what God is doing? Several years ago, I lived for a few months with a family that had young children. Every night around the dinner table, we all went around from youngest to oldest, and we shared our roses and our thorns. Roses are the good parts of our day, the things that we were grateful for, and thorns were the tougher things that happened in our day. And then once we shared our thorns, we talked about how God was at work even in the tough and hard parts of our day. These children, from a very young age, were being taught to see all of lives through a lens of gratitude, so that when they sat down to dinner every night, they could easily recount to God what they were thankful for. They were also being taught to see God at work in the challenges and harder moments of life. You see, this kind of way of seeing, it doesn't come naturally to us humans, because in our sinfulness and our brokenness, we are prone to ingratitude. We are prone to complaining. We are prone to feeling entitled. We are prone to self-sufficiency. But the truth is, all we have is a gift from God. And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see this truth and eyes to see the presence and work of God in our lives. So you see, responding to God with gratitude, giving God thanks, isn't something that we're called to do once in a while or one day out of the year. It's a foundational part of our lives that we are called to do in all times and in all places. It's interesting, in the last few years, there have been significant research and studies on how practicing gratitude is good for your health, physically and emotionally. How performing simple gratitude exercises like writing in a gratitude journal or writing letters of thanks can bring about more happiness, it can bring about more gratitude, it can bring about many, many benefits. And you see, as Christians, we don't give thanks so that we can get more blessings, because one, God doesn't operate that way. But we are grateful because all we have received is an endless gift of God's grace and God's mercy. The Psalms are filled with constant calls to give thanks and praise to God, to come before God with thanksgiving. Like in today's psalm, I will give thanks to God with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. The Lord is gracious and merciful. This is a common model in Scripture for giving thanks, where we tell back to God who God is and what God has done. God is merciful. God is gracious. Wonderful are your works. It's what we do each week in the Great Thanksgiving when we come to the table. We give God thanks for creation, for the history of salvation, for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, for the food on the table, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It all begins with the pastor saying, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." And you all respond, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." And then I say, "It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to God through our Savior Jesus Christ, who..." And then we go on to tell back to God what God has done by showing our thanksgiving. And what we do here on Sunday is meant to be the pattern for our whole lives. Maybe for you, it's looking for roses and thorns in your day. Maybe it looks like sharing a gratitude journal. Maybe it means that you just take the time to pray before your meal and give thanks to God for the food that you're about to eat and the other blessings in your life. There are many practical and tangible ways to incorporate more seeing and more thanksgiving into our lives. I know it's quite easy to get caught up in life, even doing good things, even going about the work that God has asked us to do, and to still become forgetful. Forgetful of who God is, and to become forgetful of all of God's blessings. The truth is that the temptation to forget and to give God thanks and praise is always before us. The Samaritan man in today's gospel lesson knew what it meant to respond to God's mercy and goodness and grace through Jesus. And he models it for us. As he was on his way, doing what Jesus had told him and the others to do, he saw what God had done, and he turned around and gave God thanks and praise. Sisters and brothers, may God heal us from our forgetfulness and our ingratitude. As we are all on our way, doing what Jesus has asked us to do, may we have eyes to see the work of God in and among us. And may our response be that of giving thanks and praise to God at all times and in all places. May we see what God has done and is doing, and turn back to God in all areas of our lives, and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.